We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome, everybody, to the award-winning RotoWire Fantasy Basketball Podcast. It is Friday, November 18th, 2022. Alex Berruthy here with Shannon McEwen. No K-Train Kreitz today. He's doing big business stuff, and this is going to be a pretty brief episode, so we're going to run through things very quickly here. We have Kawhi Leonard come back after a 12-game absence last night, Shannon. Would you consider selling high on Kawhi if he has a nice stretch here?
I think you have to. I absolutely would. I mean, essentially, I'm waiting, hoping that he puts together a long enough stretch where I can then trade him for anyone who's a top 50 player. But there's just too much risk involved with Kawhi. So if I can get a safer option after Kawhi hopefully builds up his value, I'm absolutely doing that.
Yeah. I agree. Yeah, if you can, it's just such a mess to deal with it in and out of your lineup. I would just rather not even deal with it. That's how I'm feeling about Klay Thompson right now on some of my teams. I was like, I would just rather trade this for somebody who actually plays. Anybody on the Clippers whose value you're worried about with Kawhi coming back?
Not terribly. You know, this team is kind of mix and matched their rotation and just pieced together options with it's just a constantly revolving door, right? Like George sits the occasional game. You'll have Norm Powell who will step up and have a big game. Batum will see more minutes. You know, we haven't really seen much from Covington yet this year. Reggie Jackson's coming off a big game, but that was with Kawhi and George both healthy. Not necessarily. I mean, I think Norm Powell's probably the one obvious option, or if you're in a league that was deep enough to have Norm Powell to be streaming a guy like Luke Kennard, who sat last night. Yeah, those are the guys that are going to be hurt from it, but they were basically fringe players in most like 12 team leagues anyways.
I agree. So we have Paolo Banchero out another week. You know, we've gotten big performances from Mo Bamba, Chuma Okeke's been starting, OKK, I should say, and Bol Bol. Again, another kind of sell high question. If you have Bol Bol, are you just looking to move him now before Banchero comes back? And then a follow-up question. Jalen Suggs is playing really well, but you have Cole Anthony and Markelle Fultz kind of looming. What do you think you do with both of those guys?
It is a tough scenario, and I think that's where Bol Bol's value is going to take a dip, is once those guards start getting back, because then in that scenario, Banchero move up to the four, Franz Wagner move up to the three, and you have two guards with Suggs and Fultz or Anthony starting. That's when it's going to get really interesting. But right now, unless you can get, man, it's got to be like a top 60, top 70 player in exchange for Bol Bol, I'm probably holding him. I'm starting to kind of lean more in the favor of this is legit. This is something we're going to see long term. You know, his handles, his ability to grab a rebound, you know, take it down to the other end of the court, make a play immediately, is intriguing. And the more I watch, the more I'm buying in. He's also coming off one of his better games, probably his best game of the season, 26 points, 12 rebounds, three blocks, took 21 shot attempts and nearly 50 fantasy points. I like the fact that he blocks shots, hits threes. You know, the rebound total can be pretty fairly high when he's getting 30 plus minutes. There's some risk involved, but there's also just tons of upside with Bobo where I might be holding him. It really depends on what I'm getting in return.
Yeah, this is a situation where we all sort of knew that he had this potential if someone gave him the minutes and was committed to his success and if he made strides on his own, and here we are. As far as, the Sugg situation, I might just ride high while I can, but I don't know. I would also be worried about Cole Anthony and Markelle Fultz. We also have Kyrie Irving returning from a suspension on Sunday. Do you believe that Cam, if you picked up Cam Thomas, Sumner, or Watanabe, do you believe this is almost an automatic drop this Sunday waivers?
Yeah, zero hesitation to drop any of those guys. You know, you've got, aside from Kyrie, you've still got guys like Steph Curry also, who is going to get more and more minutes as the season goes on. Some of those guys have had nice games, been a nice story, but we saw it. Sumner last night had a dud. He's going to immediately be removed from the starting lineup. He played 6 minutes last night and finished with half of a fantasy point. Cam Thomas is an intriguing talent, but I just don't see the minutes or the usage being there once Kyrie returns. He's another guy who had a dud last night. So I would drop any of those guys without hesitation.
I agree. We had some weird performances in that Nets game too. We had Royce O'Neal with the triple-double, the 11-11-10. Watanabe goes for 20-7. Ben Simmons had his best game of the year, 15-13-7-1. Fouled out in 32 minutes. He continues to have foul trouble, but a good sign from him since he had been hurt and all that stuff.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
If you're a basketball junkie, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Twice a week, JJ Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, including Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron in Miami, and the moment Tyrese Halliburton knew Pascal Siakam would be a good fit in Indy. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, JJ breaks down the top three things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? You won't find another outlet that covers the game as comprehensively and with such insight as JJ does it on The Old Man and the Three. Make this your companion podcast during the playoffs. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
We also have LeBron James questionable to make his return Friday, today. He had done non-contact stuff Thursday, but it didn't sound like Darvin Ham was that concerned. Do you think there's anything actionable here? Because I'm not sure. I mean, was anybody even worth picking up too much with LeBron out? Like, they kind of spread the minutes around.
Well, I wanted to talk about this guy during our waiver wire segment, but I'm not going to, so I'm just going to mention it here. Okay. Lonnie Walker, for all his faults as an NBA player, is still worth scooping up, even with LeBron returning. It's just amazing to me that Lonnie Walker's available in like 60-70% of leagues, and he's averaging 16.5 points per game this season, 1.1 steals, 1.8 three-pointers. His percentages are solid, 47% from the floor, 81% from the line. It's rare that you have a guy 11 games into the season who's basically locked into the starting lineup, averaging 16.5 points, and he's still that widely available. So that's actually my actionable item is stop sleeping on Lonnie Walker and pick him up for as long as he's going to be productive, which he has been with and without LeBron this year.
We don't have a fan feedback question because Ken's not here, but I want to ask something to you. If you have LeBron James, would you trade him for Cade Cunningham and Devin Vassell?
Yes, I would. I would in an instant. I think, you know, on a per game level, LeBron James is going to have insane value still. We've seen that each of the past couple seasons as well. My worry is just going to be games played with the Lakers being as bad as they are. I don't expect that to improve as the season goes on. So if I can get two guys who I consider both those top 50 options for the remainder of the season, you know, Cade Cunningham is dealing with a minor shin injury right now, but he's going to return very soon. And you're getting two guys who I would fully expect to be locked into the top 50 value for the remainder of the season, with top 30 upside really for both of them. And a guy who, you know, is a veteran, great player, but I worry if he, whether or not he's going to play, is he going to play what, 3 out of 4 games the remainder of the season?
Yeah. I asked that because that's a trade I proposed in one of my leagues. And, I'm going to see if I can get some depth by getting a 2-for-1. Let's go with the waiver wire. Next week's schedule, most teams have 4 or 3 games. However, there are 3 teams with 2 games. That is Toronto, Houston, and Charlotte. I'm going to jump right into it. We're each going to go with 2 available in 50% of league's players and then 1 long shot of the week without Ken here. My first option, Bones Highland. 53% roster in Yahoo, 15% in ESPN. He's about only 150th for the season, but it's very clear that he's just a usage hog. When he plays, he shoots, he passes. And whenever anybody's out, especially in the backcourt for Denver, it's more Bones. And right now, Jamal Murray's in COVID protocols, as is Nikola Jokic. Complicates things for Denver. Not sure exactly how long they'll be out. Like, we've seen guys like Brad Beal miss 4 or 5 games with COVID protocols. We've seen some guys come back after like 1 or 2 games. It's just not clear. But I think he's someone that you can just keep on your bench in 12 teamers. You stream him in on a 4-game week. You stream him in if Jamal Murray's out. I think he has to be rostered in 12 teamers.
Yeah, I think that's a good call. And it's pretty insane how productive he's been this year in limited time. Under 21 minutes per game, 14.7 points, 3.5 assists, 3.1 three-pointers while shooting 50% from downtown. It's just bonkers. And a good chunk of his field goal attempts are coming from downtown every game. He's going to get in there and even in 20 minutes has had just gigantic games. Like you said, with Murray out, his short-term value for tonight. So if you're in a daily league with streaming options, Bones is a great option for Friday night and probably through the next 2 or 3 games, possibly depending on how quickly Murray bounces back. The Denver team is, you know, especially in the backcourt, I do feel like they still have some depth because you have Murray, you have Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, and then Highland and Bruce Brown, both off the bench. It's to be determined, you know, if Bones Highland's going to get the start for Murray on Friday night or Bruce Brown. I think it's 50-50 right now. I might lean slightly towards Brown being the more likely option. And honestly, Brown is a good streaming option right now as well.
Mm-hmm. Who is your available and 50% of leagues player?
Yeah, all of my guys actually would qualify as long shots this week, but okay. it's hard to pass up. You know, even they're so low owned, I still think these guys need to be highlighted. The first one is Cam Reddish, who is now starting for the New York Knicks. He's been solid too. You know, he's only it feels like Cam has been around forever, but he's only 23, and he seems to be picking up some steam with the Knicks. He started seven games in a row, but if you look at just the past three games, he's averaged 34 minutes, 18 points, 2.3 steals, one block, and 1.3 three-pointers per game, 57% from the floor, 91% from the line during that three-game stretch. But essentially, his first four starts were not pretty, but this is showing what kind of upside he has. I think he's worth it, especially on weeks as a streaming option on weeks where the Knicks have four games. As long as he's in the starting lineup, he should be on the radar for more fantasy leagues than he currently is, as he's only owned in 6% of Yahoo and 3% of ESPN leagues.
Yeah, I am not convinced Reddish is that good of a basketball player, but if the Knicks are going to continue trusting him, and he's going to continue playing about 30 minutes a game, you got to take a look. My next guy for 50% of leagues is Malik Beasley, who is rostered in 43% of Yahoo and 40% of ESPN. Got off to a bit of a slow start, but we have Rudy Gay out for 2 weeks plus. Beasley, purely a 3-and-D guy. So if you're looking for anything besides like three-pointers and steals, and he's not even getting that many steals this year, to be honest, you got to look elsewhere. But past five games for Beasley, 16.5 points, 4.3 threes, five boards. That's pretty nice for him. 1.5 assists, one steal in 28 minutes. Jazz play four games this week. So I think just at the very least, he's a stream in. And then if he continues to play well, maybe he just turns into a hold.
Yeah, he's very similar to Lonnie Walker, who I mentioned earlier. Yeah. Comparable production, more three-pointers from Beasley. He's definitely a stream option. My second pickup is going to be Grant Williams. Figured I need to give the Celtics some love with Ken missing today's episode. And I poo-poo on Grant Williams often, but he's playing solid right now. And he's basically locked into the Celtics starting lineup. He started six straight games for Boston. Over that stretch, 32 minutes, 10.7 points, 5.2 rebounds, and 1.8 three-pointers. Good percentages, 55 and 82%. You know, he's nothing too spectacular. Doesn't get as many defensive stats as I would like. But a solid producer while he's locked into the starting lineup, especially if you're in like a 14-team league where he's available. He's a guy you can put into your lineup when the Celtics have four games.
Someone who has proven to have the trust of the coaching staff and can play both front court positions. So, yeah, no shortage of he has a very high minutes floor. I do like that option for him. He can occasionally pop off. My long shot this week, Denny Avdia, 11% roster in Yahoo, 2% in ESPN. The Anthony Gill experience has come to a close. Not really sure what that was about. It was kind of a bizarre fever dream. But their options, aside from Avdia, they just don't, like, they're really shallow. The Wizards are very shallow. They're getting, like, a lot of minutes out of Jordan Goodwin, who is essentially an unknown guy. They're playing Porzingis along at center. It's like they still don't feel like they can trust Hachimura a ton. So I like his upside to continue seeing about 30 minutes a game. A lot of these recent performances that he's been playing well have come without Bradley Beal, but he followed that up the other night in the game that Beal was back. His per 36 over the past two seasons, 12 points, 1.5 threes, 7.6 boards, 3 assists, 1.1 steals, almost a block. That's okay. Like, you're in a deep league. You're getting a guy who plays 30 minutes and has that as his averages. I think that guy has to be rostered if you're in like a 16 teamer.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And it's that 3-point block steal combination. He rebounds decently, but 1.3 steals, 0.8 blocks, and 2 3-pointers per game over his past four. I like him as a pickup as well. For my long shot, I'm going to Motown. Marvin Moneybags Bagley. It hasn't been impressive so far. He's only played 3 games this year, but he's started each of the past 2 with Isaiah Stewart, you know, set to miss probably a handful more games at least. Bagley should stick in the starting lineup. Over those 2 starts, he's averaged 10 points, 6.5 rebounds, doing nothing on the defensive end, which is to be expected. But he really hasn't had the opportunity to shake off the rust much yet. I think he will get more productive over the course of the next week or so. I don't expect it to be league winning production by any means. There's also a worry that Jalen Duren could eat some of those minutes. Last night with the Pistons, you know, Dwayne Casey before the game said that it's basically impossible for him to play minutes, Duren and Bagley together, because the lack of spacing available when those two are on the court together. So they're probably going to split minutes pretty evenly at the 5 spot, with Stewart out. I think, you know, depending on your appetite and your which categorical need you have, if you're looking more for rebounds and blocks, Duren's probably the better streaming option. But if you need scoring, then it's going to be Marvin Bagley. And you know, it should be noted as well that Bagley did start, his first start was with Stewart in the starting lineup. That was the game Stewart left due to injury. So Bagley could get a pretty long leash in the starting lineup.
Yeah. And you never know what happens when Cade comes back. I mean, Cade being available as a distributor to feed the ball to Bagley more, is good, because Bagley isn't someone who necessarily is great at creating his own offense. Right. So I think he actually may have more upside when Cade comes back. So it could be a hold.
And those two flashed some chemistry last season as well. And Bagley really is the only lob option on that team. Isaiah Stewart's a great hustle player, but he's not really an above the rim guy. Bagley having that lob option for Cade is not the worst thing in the world.
Let's good word from our friends at Vivid Seats. The NBA is back. On behalf of Vivid Seats, let's get one thing clear. Nothing beats seeing your favorite team beat every other team live and in person to the sounds of screaming fans. Vivid Seats believes that real fans deserve to be rewarded, and that you deserve a ticketing platform that not only makes it easy to find great deals, but also rewards you all season long. Vivid Seats is the only ticketing company where you can earn rewards with every purchase. No one else has that. They even have a 100% buyer guarantee that your ticket will be as legit as your love for the game. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today and use promo code ROTOWIRE for $10 off your first $100 purchase. That's promo code ROTOWIRE for $10 off your first $100 ticket purchase. Download the app or visit VividSeats.com today. Vivid Seats, experience it live.
That's RotoWire for $10 off. All right. Now it's on to our Friday DFS picks, brought to you by FanDuel. Fans, sign up for FanDuel now and compete for millions of dollars in prizes each day. Choose your best NBA lineup and compete to win real cash. All right, Alex, how's this slate looking?
11 games today. Highest over under 236, Pacers at Rockets. That's going to be a really fun game. I know Kevin Porter Jr. is questionable for that. But as always, for the main injuries, check the RotoWire lineups page. But early this morning, we had some news. Jimmy Butler's out. Bam Adebayo closer to doubtful. Tyler Hero's still out. So that Heat game, looking a little like a skeleton crew. Could be some Nikola Jovic action. Not going to be the first time I messed that up. We also have LaMelo Ball, who's out again. Sprained his ankle. Basically, I think it was the second game back. And then Jokic and Murray are out due to COVID protocols. I will say, before we jump into this quickly, we have a new feature on the RotoWire Optimizer. You can, as a user, adjust the minutes of the players in the player pool. So if you think Nikola Jovic will play 34 minutes instead of 28 minutes, and we have him projected for 28. You can change that, and the projections will go along with it. So I think that's a really good feature for some user stuff. Shannon, what are you looking towards first in this slate that's already being marred with injuries?
Yeah, there's a ton of different approaches tonight. One of the first games I really looked at was the Memphis OKC. Actually, there's two games, Memphis OKC and Indiana and the Rockets, two of the higher over unders of the night. And also, I just think there's some obvious value options for those four teams. With Memphis, yeah, I know Dylan Brooks, again, a player who has his faults, but with Desmond Bane out and Dylan Brooks only at $5,000 on FanDuel, there's some serious upside here. He played. Really, he's going to get his shots. He always gets his shots. But it's the increase in minutes with Bane out and the needed scoring that Memphis is going to have. You know, in the most recent game, actually, let's look at the last three games. Dylan Brooks played 33 minutes per 19.7 points, and he's chucking up 19 shots per game. He's only shooting 39% over that stretch. So basically, you got a guy who's chucking up about 20 shots per game. You know, his efficiency has been off, but if he just catches fire and even shoots like 50% one of these nights, gets a steal or two on top of that, he's going to have a monster fantasy outing.
Yeah, I agree. Someone that does love to chuck up shots, and you enjoy that for DFS because the field goal percentage doesn't hurt you at all. You know, as far as like the injury target guys, Theo Maledon for the Hornets is interesting. Has had a couple of good games recently. LaMelo's out. Dennis Smith Jr. expected to be out. He's 4,400. Obviously, you have Nikola Jovic with Bam and Jimmy Butler both out, and Deadman is questionable still. Jovic had a nice game the other night. Possibly plays 30 minutes. If he plays 30 minutes, anything's possible, I guess. And then, you know, for the Nuggets, everyone's going to be playing Bones. A couple people might throw in some DeAndre Jordan, but I think Bones is the way to go there. I mean, these guys might be like 40% rostered. Although it is a big slate. You never know. Chances are you'll have to fade one of these guys, but who knows?
I will say a couple of the issues I have is one, I'm not thrilled with the matchup for Denver. Dallas is one of the slower paced teams in the league, and the over under is not going to be one that you'd normally target. And also with Bones specifically, you know, he's 5,800 on FanDuel. So you're not even really getting that built-in value where it's a guy, you know, a bench player who's getting a potential spot start. And he's $1,500 cheaper than he should be. They kind of price enforced on him for tonight's slate. So that worries me. But I think he is a solid option, especially if he's named the starter. And then I think a lot of people are going to be off of Michael Porter Jr. Because of his bad showing with Jokic out earlier this week. He had 27 minutes and only scored 5 points, 3 rebounds, 2 assists for 9.6 fantasy points. But that was coming off a 41-point fantasy outing. I think he's way more likely to hit 40 fantasy points tonight than another 10-point performance. And upside for more, because he could easily be the leading scorer for the Nuggets tonight. I like Porter even more so if Aaron Gordon misses another game. But there are a couple guys who we actually discussed earlier who I'm very high on. Bol Bol coming off his best game. He's gonna get another start. We have Banchero out again. The Fultz and Anthony are both still out for the Magic. So Bol Bol should see a safe 30 minutes. And if he sees that, you know, 40 to 50 point upside is there again. And at 5,300, that's a great price. And the other guy that was mentioned earlier, Cam Reddish, despite the three big games that he's coming off, has not really seen a price increase yet on FanDuel. And 4,100 high over under against Golden State. I like that Golden State New York game quite a bit as well.
Yeah, I think those are all good targets. Anybody, any last thoughts before we wrap this thing up?
Oh man. Yeah. If you're going with more expensive options, there's tons of good players to pick from. Luka's back after basically having a rest game. SGA has been an absolute monster this year. He's part of that Memphis game. I think he of course, a very, very solid play. I like Ja Morant quite a bit, though. I think if I'm targeting expensive players, Ja Morant at 10,100 going against OKC, I expect that game to be extremely high scoring, probably will eclipse the over. And then Tyrese Halliburton, still under 9,000, averaging 45 fantasy points per game. And I feel like he still hasn't had, you know, he's had one or two 50 point, he's had three total 50 point fantasy outings, but I feel like he hasn't put together that total game where he's like 30 points, 14 assists. And I think we're going to see it soon. And tonight against the Rockets is the type of matchup where I could see him just busting out and having one of his better games of the season.
The Rockets, sometimes defense versus position stats can be a little wonky, but I've been looking all season at those, and the point guards against the Rockets, man, they seem to just kill it. So, and we have Kevin Porter Jr. questionable as well, so they could be down him. As a reminder, FanDuel is providing a special offer to all new users. Sign up for FanDuel, play $1 in an NBA contest, and receive $10 free instantly. Without Ken, we will skip the old man rant. We miss you, Ken. Thank you, everybody, for joining us on the RotoWire Fantasy Basketball Podcast. It's presented by Vivid Seats and FanDuel. We'll see you guys next time.